Hi, good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is well. Shavua Tov. And first, I just want to remind people, if you haven't heard, that the OU Israel Center is having an end of the year fundraiser to support all of the amazing shiurim and Torah learning that goes on in the center. And obviously, it costs some money. And this is when we turn to the people who take advantage of these wonderful services to ask them to help out a little bit and to have a chelek in the wonderful Harbatzas Torah that is being done here really every day of the week. And in the chat, there is a link to the page where you can donate. And I think Rabbi Shore will make a further announcement at the very end of the class. And once again, to have a chelek in Achzakas Torah is a tremendous, tremendous chus for you and your family, and Be'ezras Hashem, it should bring many, many brachot in all ways. Today, I want to go a little backwards and talk a little bit about Asara B'Teves. As I often say, in this year, I'm not going to be inspirational. I'm going to deal with a technical halachic matter, but it is a halachic matter that's very, very fascinating, interesting, and has a certain amount of chiddush to it. That is the following idea. Obviously, everybody knows that the fast of Asara B'Teves was somewhat unusual because we actually observed it on Friday, and it is the only Tanis that can occur on Erev Shabbos. That's because of the Jewish calendar. So, for example, if Yom Kippur were to fall out on Friday, we certainly would fast on Friday because we even fast when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, but under the Jewish calendar, Yom Kippur can never be on Friday. Asara B'Teves has another anomaly, which is not really relevant to us, and that is there are times that it literally skips the whole secular year, meaning you might have Asara B'Teves in December of a year, and then the next Asara B'Teves, if the next year is a Jewish leap year, will not be until January of the year after, so the whole intervening year may not have Asara B'Teves. I believe is the only Jewish holiday that can literally skip an entire secular year. But again, that issue is not relevant for us. But I do want to focus on the idea that normally, the same way you're not supposed to fast on Shabbos, because fasting on Shabbos is inconsistent with the joy and the happiness that we should have on Shabbos. It's inconsistent with Oneg Shabbos. So Hu Adin, normally you're not supposed to fast on Friday because you're not supposed to enter Shabbos in a state of inoy, in a state of deprivation, in a state of hunger, because that would mean that the first moments of Shabbos, you're still very, very uncomfortable. And indeed, even after you eat at the end of a fast, you may have a certain amount of discomfort, indigestion, or the like. And yet, Asara B'Teves, not only do we fast until Kabbalah Shabbos, but we even have to wait until it's dark, meaning you can accept Shabbos early, you can daven Ma'ariv early, you can do Kabbalah Shabbos early, and indeed that is proper because of the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, but you cannot break the fast until the three stars are out, and it is Seisar Kochavim. Rav Yosef Karo in the Beis Yosef brings, in the name of Rav David Avudraham, who was one of the great late Rishonim who wrote on Inyanim of Tefillah and Minhag, that not only does Asara B'Teves override Erev Shabbat, but theoretically, if Asara B'Teves were to fall out on Shabbos itself, you would even fast on Shabbos. You would even fast on Shabbos. And this is based on the idea that when Hashem told the Navi Yechezkel, who was living in Bavel at the time, Kisov, write down on a piece of parchment, that Bietzem Hayom Hazeh, on this very day, on the 10th of Teves, Nebuchadnezzar began the siege against Yerushalayim. This was to validate Yechezkel as a Navi by essentially telling him to write down this date, and the Jews in Bavel wouldn't even hear about it till several weeks later. And they would see that Yechezkel already wrote down the dates. That would prove that he was a Navi. So the Lashon of the Pasuk is, write down that Bi'etzem Hayom Hazeh, on that very day, the king of Bavel began his siege against Yerushalayim. And the Avudram points out that the phrase Be'etzem Hayom Hazan, that very day, also appears in the Torah in connection with Yom Kippur. So we make, as it were, a comparison of wording, a Gezeirah Shavah of sorts, that just like the Etzem Hayom Hazeh of Yom Kippur overrides Shabbos, Asara B'Teves as well would override Shabbos. Now, this is a theoretical halacha, because once again, based on the composition of the Jewish calendar, it is not possible for Asara B'Teves to fall out on Shabbos, so you'll never have this situation. But if it would be the case that Asara B'Teves would fall out on Shabbos, if, for example, we went back to the system of determining Rosh Chodesh by witnesses coming to the Sanhedrin who saw the new moon, the Avudraham is Machadesh, that Asara B'Teves would be Docha, it would override even the prohibition of fasting on Shabbos. Now the kasha is, why should that be so? Asara B'Teves is surely not as chamor as the ninth of Av. Asara B'Teves was the beginning of a siege. The ninth of Av was the actual destruction of both the Bayis Rishon and 490 years later, the Bayis Sheni. And we know that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we do not fast on Shabbos, we fast Motzoi Shabbos. How could it possibly be the case that Asara B'Teves should be more chamor than the ninth of Av? Right? It's very, very difficult. So let me just give you two basic explanations, then I'll give you a third one in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. One explanation is this. The Gemara itself comments that the Beis HaMikdash primarily destroyed on the 10th of Av, that it was only towards the evening of the 9th of Av that the building was set on fire, and Rov of the Mikdash was destroyed on the 10th of Av. Ad kedei kach, that Rav Yochanan declares in the Gemara that if he would have been around at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni or Rishon, he would have enacted that the fast should be on the 10th of Av, because that is when the majority of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why then do we make the fast on the 9th of Av? What is our reasoning? So the Gemara says, Aschalta de Poranusa Adifa. That means the beginning of a tragedy is often most painful, because that shocks you into realizing how horrendous your situation is. With the passage of time, you get used to it a little bit. So consequently, even if it's true that most of the Mikdash was destroyed on the 10th of Av, the Chachamim were koveya the fast on the 9th of Av, because the beginning of the Paranias is the most poignant and most intense level of pain. Now, if you go with the idea that the Haschala is that which is most bitter, we could take this one step further. The 10th of Teves was the beginning of the beginning, because that is actually the first event that set into motion the process that would culminate in the Churban Beis HaMikdash, right? That is when Nebuchadnezzar began a siege that culminated in a Churban a little more than 3 years later. And even though nothing happened on that day, the wall was not broken into, nothing was destroyed, but the beginning of the siege reminded the Jewish people that they were not invulnerable, that God was not necessarily going to protect them without tshuva. Again, you have to remember that in the period before the Churban Bayis Rishon, there were many false prophets in Klal Yisrael. And these false prophets were actually giving the Jewish people a message of hope. It sounded like it was good. They said, God loves you. You're invincible. God will never let his people be subjugated or defeated. God will never destroy the Beis HaMikdash. These Nevi'im sounded like Balei Emunah, Balei Bitachon. It was Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who was the Navi Emes, that told them, you are not yet worthy of God's divine providence. Surrender to Babylonia. Perhaps if you surrender, they will have mercy on you and will not lead you into exile and will not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And you have to remember that Yirmiyahu HaNavi was regarded as a Benedict Arnold. He was regarded as a traitor. He was regarded as a Quisling. He was regarded as an appeaser. And many people look to the other Nevi'im, the Nevi'e Sheker, as the Bale Yabuna in the Bale Bitachon. So the Jews were living under a delusion of false hopes. Jews were living under the belief that God loved them so much. And of course, God does love us so much. But they thought God loves us so much that he would never allow the enemy to do anything to us. And Asara Beteves was the wake-up call to the reality that without tshuva and without fundamental change, again, Hashem loves us even when we're bad. That's very, very true. But God's love, although there is so much mercy in it, is also a tough love. It is the tough love of accountability. It is the tough love of responsibility. That's what the pasuk says. Because I love you, that is why I am harsh on you. That's what the Navi Amos says. So therefore, going back to the Avudraham, it was Asara B'Teves that was the Hatchala that made the Jewish people realize this, that the unthinkable could in fact come to pass. And therefore, maybe it's Docha Shabbos, even if Tisha B'Av is not, based on the idea of Aschalta de Poranusa, the beginning of the Poranius, is often the most intense pain. That would be answer number one. Answer number two is a yesod that was said by Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, the great, great Goyin and Tzaddik. He's often known as Rav Aaron Cutler's father-in-law, but in a way that's not Lefi Chavodo, because he was a great, great Goyin and Gadol in his own right. He was also very, very meforsam for the kindness and the midos tovos. In fact, somebody said when Rav Isser Zalman died, this was in 1953, I think it was, that even if he didn't know how to learn at all, he would be the greatest Jew in Yerushalayim just because of the midos tovos that he had as well. An extraordinary, a great person in Torah and in righteousness in Bein Adam Lamakom and in Bein Adam Lachavero. But be it as it may, he says, and I'm not sure what his source is. I don't remember seeing a source. But he says that Asara B'Teves has a very unique significance that is parallel to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because just as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are Yemei Din, they are days of judgment. God decides who will live and who will die. And on Rosh Hashanah, there's a preliminary judgment that is called a kesiva, a writing down. And on Yom Kippur, there is a final judgment that is called the sealing or the signing, that is called chasima. As we say, Rosh Hashanah yikosevun. On Rosh Hashanah, it is written, the Sanokef, uviyom tzom kippur yechosemun. And on Yom Kippur, it is sealed, kama yavran, kama yibarein. Who will pass, who will be created, mi yichya, who will live, who will die, mi bekitso, who will complete their allotted years, umi shalo bekitso, who will not complete their allotted years. These are yamei din, yamim norayim. So Rav Isser Zalman wants to say, and he says there was a tradition to this effect, that the same way Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are yamei din, on Asara B'Teves, the Friday that just passed, is a Yom HaDin if the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt in the coming year. Hashem decides on Asara B'Teves, will the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt in the next 12 months? It's a Yom HaDin Mamash. Now, that doesn't mean that if, God forbid, there was an unfavorable din on Asara B'Teves, the situation is hopeless. The same way that after Yom Kippur, even if God decreed something negative, we continue to daven, we continue to pray, we continue to do tshuva. Because after all, if you're going to tell me whatever is decreed on Yom Kippur, or even Hoshana Rabbah, if you want to extend it, is a done deal, then you might as well not daven after Hoshana Rabbah. Whatever was decided was decided. If it was good, it was good. If it was bad, it was bad. Obviously, Judaism believes that even a negative decree, God forbid, can be ripped up with tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. That's the meaning of the sentence. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avirin es raya ha-gezeirah, meaning even if there is a decree from God, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah can rip up the gezeirah. And that's true for individuals, which is why we daven, even after Hoshana Rabbah. And that's also true for Binyan Beis HaMikdash, so we pray for the Beis HaMikdash even after Asara B'Teves, and we don't say it's a done deal. But it is much harder to change a Gezar Din once it's decreed than to create a circumstance where an evil decree is not issued in the first place. So consequently, it is actually better to put in much effort in your tefillos before Rosh Hashanah or during Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur than afterwards, because there's a greater chance of success. And the same thing is true Lagabe Binyan Beis HaMikdash in Asara B'Teves, that better to get your tefillos in before the Gezar Din than Chas V'Shalom after the Gezar Din. Now, this is, again, as I say, this is something that is taught in the name of Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer. So I was thinking, I don't think he makes this connection, that once you understand that Asara B'Teves is a Yom Hadin, then the comparison to Yom Kippur makes a lot of sense. The same way that we fast when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, because since it is the Yom HaDin that is so significant, it's almost a matter of pikuach nefesh that we do fast, right? Sometimes it's pikuach nefesh to eat, but this is pikuach nefesh to fast even when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. So it might be a similar concept with Asara B'Teves, that this is the Yom HaDin of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And maybe that's what the Udram means when he says that the same Lashayim that the Torah uses about Yom Kippur, Bi'etzem HaYayim HaZeh, is also used by Asara B'Teves, Bi'etzem HaYayim HaZeh, because both of them have the status of Yemei Din. And because they're Yemei Din, so B'chiyai Gavna, it'll be Doche, it'll override even the prohibition of fasting on Shabbos. That would be a second teretz. By the way, I'll just mention that in Siman Aleph of the Shulchan Aruch, the very first chapter of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo writes, it is roi v'nachon, it is proper for every God-fearing person to feel pain and anguish over the absence of the Beis HaMikdash and to mourn over the Beis HaMikdash. And that, of course, is the source of the minhag that some people have. Most of us do not do this. I don't do this myself. Of tikkun chatzos, of getting up at midnight and sitting on the ground and crying and mourning over the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Some people do this every night. Some people do it during the 3 weeks or the 9 days. It's interesting that the great Baal Musar, Rav Elio Lapyan, who died around 30 years ago, great tzaddik. He began the practice of tikkun chatzos when he was in his mid-80s. And somebody asked him, why are you doing this now? You didn't do this your whole life. Why are you beginning it when you're older? And he said like this. He said that when a person dies after Me'ev Yesrim Shana, he has to take a test. And the malach goes through every law in the Shulchan Aruch and asks, did you keep this law? Did you keep this law? Did you break this law? So we are tested on every single halakha in the Shulchan Aruch that's nogeya to us. And we are asked, did we keep it or did we not keep it? So Rav Elia said, it's a bit of a humorous remark, that when it comes to chapter 695, if I didn't do something there, I've already built up credibility. There'll be a lot of things I've already done, so the Midas Adin is not going to be so strong. But if I give a no to something in the very beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, I'm in big trouble. So consequently, he says, the idea of mourning the Churban Beis HaMikdash is not in the middle of the Shulchan Aruch, it's not in the laws of Tisha B'Av, which is towards the end of the Shulchan Aruch, or Rechayim at least. The law about, or the proper practice about mourning the Churban is in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. I better get that right, because if I fail at the very beginning of my test, that's going to create a very, very negative impression. So I figured when I'm older, I better start doing the stuff that's at front loaded in the Shulchan Aruch, so I'm not going to make a bad impression on the Malach. This is what Rav Elia Lapian said. Okay, but now let's go back to the Avudram. Again, the Avudram basically said that if Asara B'Teves would fall out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. And I gave you two possible explanations. One is Aschalta de Puranisa Adifa, the beginning of a tragedy is most intense, and Asara B'Teves is the beginning. And the second idea is that Asara B'Teves is a Yom HaDin, just like Yom Kippur. And as a result, because it is the Yom HaDin for the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be Docheh Shabbos, just as Yom Kippur, which is the Yom HaDin for individuals, is also going to be Docheh Shabbos. It's a matter of Pikuach Nefesh, so to speak. It's a matter of something that our lives depend on it, both our lives and having a Beis HaMikdash, which is Beit Chayenu, Rachem al Sion, Tihi Beit Chayenu. Have compassion on Sion by the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Ki Beis Chayenu, it is the home, it is the house, of it. It is the meaning of our very existence. But now I want to give you a third teretz, B'Shem Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the great Rav Chaim of Brisk, which is very, very, very fascinating. And let's start by looking at the phenomenon of Tisha B'Av. We know that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we do not fast on Shabbos. We fast Motzai Shabbos and Sunday. So there are two things that happen. There are two principles here. Do not fast on Shabbos, number one. Number two, make up the fast the next day. Tashlumen. Now, the question is, what is the relationship between these two principles? So most of us understand it this way. We start off with the rule that except for Yom Kippur, you don't fast on Shabbos. That's the given, except for Yom Kippur. Once we have a rule that you don't fast on Shabbos, mimela, we have to make it up by fasting the next day. In other words, the tashlumin is a consequence of the issur of fasting. Since you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, therefore, you're forced to make it up. Rav Chaim is mechadesh, that the relationship is actually in the opposite direction. You first establish, is this a fast that can be made up if you miss it? Once you can make it up, then we say you don't fast on Shabbos. In other words, Rav Chaim learns this way. A fast that cannot be making up, and we'll discuss why that's so, you in fact could do on Shabbos. The iser of fasting on Shabbos is only a fast that does not have tashlumen. The other way around. The iser of fasting on Shabbos is only for a fast that has tashlumen, because since you can make it up, you shouldn't fast on Shabbos. But a fast that does not have tashlumen, I'll discuss when that would be, in fact, could fast on Shabbos. In other words, instead of starting off with the idea, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, and therefore we have to make it up, you work in the opposite direction. If it is a make-up fast, I don't fast on Shabbos. But if it's a fast that cannot be made up, then I could fast on Shabbos. So the first question you have to ask is this a fast that I am permitted to make up? Now, in the case of Tisha B'Av, the answer is yes. Why is that so? Because what is the makor, what is the source of our obligation to fast? Right there, besides Yom Kippur, there are four fast days that we observe during the year. And all of them are connected in one way or the other with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We have the Shiva Sarbatamas. We have Tisha B'Av. We have Tzom Gedalia. And we have Asara B'Teves. Right? Shiva Sarbatamas is when the Romans broke through Yerushalayim. Tisha B'Av is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Tzom Gedalia, which is really connected to the first Beis HaMikdash, was where shortly after the Churban, the last Jewish governor of Eretz Yisrael was assassinated, Gedalia ben Achikam, and that was the nail in the coffin. And Asara B'Teves, which is really the first of the events, was when Nebuchadnezzar began his siege. So the Navi Zechariah describes these events as Tzom HaRevi'i, the fast of the fourth month. And again, we're counting from Nisan. So the fourth month is Tammuz. Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz. Tzom HaRevi'i. Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of the fifth month, which is Av. Tzom HaShavi'i, the fast of the seventh month, which is Tishrei, and this is Tzom Gedalia, not Yom Kippur. And Tzom HaAsiri, the fast of the 10th month, which is Asara B'Teves. So the Navi says, when there'll be a Beis HaMikdash, there will be days of joy. But when there's no Beis HaMikdash, there are days of Tzom. Now, so the whole Makor of these four fast days, again, Tainus Esther is not on this list. There's actually a fifth fast day, but we're just looking at the Beis HaMikdash fast days, is from the Pasuk in Zechariah. Now, you'll note one thing in this Pasuk in Zechariah. The Pasuk in Zechariah only gives you a month. It does not give you a day. It does not say the 17th of Tammuz. It says the fast of the fourth month, which is Tammuz. The fast of the fifth month, which is Av. The fast of the seventh month, which is Tishrei. And the fast of the 10th month, which is Teves. In other words, the Nevi'im did not establish that the fasts have to be on a particular day. Later, the Chachamim said we should tie it to particular dates within the month, because that's when the events happened. But the Nevi'im themselves created a flexibility by tying the Tainus to the Chodesh and not to a Tarich within the Chodesh. Says Rav Chaim, that's enormously significant. Because what that means is that when the Tarich falls on Shabbat, there is no problem in pushing the fast off to the next day, because in a sense, the fast never really had to be on that day. It just has to be in that month. So the fact that the Kaviyas of the Tainus from the Navi was Alpi the Chodesh rather than Alpi the date within the Chodesh means there's the possibility of Tashlumin. Once we know there's the possibility of Tashlumin, then you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos because you have the option of doing it another day. Now, it's true that in that Pasuk, it also mentions Asara B'Teves. So if all we had was that Pasuk, Asara B'Teves would have the same Tashlumin as any other of the fasts. But with Asara B'Teves, we have an additional Pasuk. Besides the Pasuk in Zechariah, which talks about Tzom HaRevi'i, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShvi'i, Tzom HaAsiri, we have Hashem's statement to Yechezkel of Bi'etzem HaYom HaZeh. So the way Rav Chaim understands it, Bi'etzem HaYom HaZeh is Hashem decreeing Asara B'Teves is not simply linked to a month. It is linked to a date. And if it's linked to a date, that means it cannot be made up. So Mimela, Rav Chaim learns, the reason why you fast on Shabbos is once we know that a fast cannot be made up. By definition, you will fast on Shabbos. In other words, this is a new pshat. The Avudram is learning, the way he's learning the Avudram, it's not that B'yetzi Yom HaZeh makes it chomor. It's not that Asar B'Tavis is more chomor. It's not that it's stricter. It's simply, it doesn't have a makeup date. So if you would fast on Shabbos, you couldn't do it at all. So Rav Chaim says, any tinus that cannot be made up, if you miss it, you're allowed to fast even on Shabbos. And Asara B'Teves happens to be the only fast that if you missed it, there is no makeup date, because the Kviyut of Asara B'Teves is not linked to the Chodesh. The Kviyut is linked to the Tarich, to the date within the Chodesh. Because all the other Tanesim are Chodesh, 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 based on Zechariah. And Asara B'Teves in that Pasuk is also Chodesh. But Asar B'Teves has the additional designation as B'yetza Mayim HaZeh. So it turns out that Rav Chaim's Chiddush is that any fast that does not have a makeup date, that if you don't do it on that date, cannot be made up, can in fact be done on Shabbos. And in fact, someone will bring a raya to Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim himself may bring the raya, from the din of Tanit Chalom. There is a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara that if a person had a frightening or disturbing dream, let's say, God forbid, somebody dreamed of a death or an illness or a tragedy. So there is a din that a person can fast, and hopefully the fast will be mevatel the gezeira ra'ah. Now, b'zman hazeh, we're not nayeg that much to fast because we're weak and we won't be able to daven properly. But there is a law in the books. Now, the halacha is that if you have a tainit chalom Friday night, if you have a chalom ra, you have a bad dream Friday night, you are allowed to have a tainit chalom even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos. Even though you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. Now, it's an interesting anomaly. If you do fast because you had a bad dream Shabbos, you then have to have another fast later to make up for the sin of fasting on Shabbos. Meaning, on one hand, it's a sin, it's not the right thing to do. And on the other hand, you're permitted to do it. And in fact, it's even recorded that there were times that people saw the Chafetz Chaim was fasting on Shabbos because of a tainit chalom. Now, how do you understand that? How are you allowed to fast on Shabbos because of a tainit chalom? So according to Rav Chaim, there's a very good explanation. A tainit chalom has to be the day after the bad dream. You can't just dream, you can't just fast 2 or 3 days later. So a tainit chalom is a chalom that does not have a makeup opportunity. So if a tainit chalom does not have a makeup opportunity because it has to be on that day, it's going to be docha Shabbos in spite of the iser of fasting on Shabbos, because it is only tainism that can be made up that you don't fast on Shabbos. A tainus that cannot be made up, you could fast on Shabbos. And the two examples would be Asara B'Teves, which cannot be made up because of B'etzem Hayom HaZeh, and a tainit chalom. In fact, one might even say this is why Yom Kippur is Docha Shabbos, because Yom Kippur also cannot be made up, although Yom Kippur is a Doraisa, so that's a different cheshbon, really. Because the issur of fasting on Shabbos is not a Torah law, it's a rabbinic law. Yom Kippur is Deoraisa, so that would be a simple reason. Okay, so that's the basic idea of Rav Chaim. And that is his explanation of the Avud Raham. I know it's a little complicated, but now I want to share with you a kasha on Rav Chaim from a Gemara in Maseches Megillah. A very, very interesting kasha. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah tells us about Rav Yehuda Hanasi, Rebbe, he's called, the author of the Mishnah. And it says, Rebbe wanted to do a very, very strange thing. Rebbe lived after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rebbe lived even after the Bar Kokhba revolt. So Yidden were certainly fasting on the ninth of Av. Rebbe wanted to be Mevatel Tisha B'Av. He wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av. We don't need it. So the Gemara asks, how could that be? How could Rebbe want to be Mevatel Tisha B'Av? There's no Beis HaMikdash, there's a Chorban. The Jews are living under Roman occupation in very difficult times. So the Gemara explains the situation. Of course, Rebbe didn't want to get rid of Tisha B'Av generally, but Rebbe had the opinion that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, since you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, Rebbe said, Hayel v'nitche. Once the fast is not going to be observed on the proper date, then you shouldn't observe it at all. You either do it the right date or you don't do it at all. So when Rebbe wanted to discontinue the ninth of Av, that meant when the ninth of Av fell out on Shabbos, Rebbe said, we don't need to fast Motzei Shabbos and Sunday. In other words, it is Rebbe's position, which we don't paskin like Rebbe. We paskin Tisha B'Av does get pushed off. But it's Rebbe's position that even the ninth of Av cannot be pushed off. And therefore, if the ninth of Av cannot be pushed off, the Gemara says, it won't be observed at all. That was Rebbe's position. Now the Gemara says, we don't paskin that way. Rebbe bikesh lakar Tisha B'Av. Rebbe wanted to be Iker Tisha B'Av. V'lo hodulo chachamim. The chachamim did not admit him. But here is my question. This Gemara is making a point exactly the opposite of Reb Chaim. Because if it was Rebbe's point that Tisha B'Av cannot be made up in another day, instead of concluding, therefore there's no fast, Reb Chaim's logic would have said, therefore we fast on Shabbos. Because Reb Chaim is understanding, the only reason I don't fast when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos is because I have the opportunity to make it up the next day. Now, Rebbe maintains, I don't have the opportunity to make it up the next day. Rebbe maintains, if you don't do it in the proper time, you can't do it later. So wait a second. So instead of saying, oh, can't do it on Shabbos, can't do it on Sunday, therefore don't do it, Rav Chaim Svara is exactly the opposite. If I can't make it up on Sunday, which is what Rebbe says, I should fast even on Shabbos. So why does the Gemara say that according to Rebbe's position, I wouldn't observe Tisha B'Av at all? At that point, Tisha B'Av would become like Asara B'Teves, which doesn't have a makeup. Again, that's Rebbe's position. We don't agree with Rebbe on that. But Rebbe says you can't make it up. Memele a fast on Shabbos. So L'chaira, you see from the Gemara, not like Rav Chaim, you see from the Gemara that the Iser of fasting on Shabbos is muchlat, meaning it's absolute. And if you can make it up, go ahead and make it up. And if you can't make it up, you don't make it up. But that's not going to allow you to fast on Shabbos. So we're back to square one. Why would Asara B'Teves be Doche Shabbos? Right? Here the Gemara in Megillah is Mamashe Kasha on Rav Chaim's logic. Because Rav Chaim says, any fast that cannot be made up can override Shabbos. So if so, Rebbe, instead of Rebbe saying we don't observe Tisha B'Av at all that year, Rebbe should have said you fast even on Shabbos. Again, we won't paskin like him on that either. But that's very different than what the Gemara says. So here, I want to go back a little bit. And again, this will get a little more complicated. I apologize for being a little overly complicated today. I see Tisha B'Av does not have a specific day. That's what I'm making the point. The only reference to Tisha B'Av in Nach, yeah, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed that day, but in terms of being a fast day, it is described as Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of the fifth month. It does not say the fast of the ninth of Av in the fifth month. So when I say it doesn't have a specific date, I mean as a fast, a specific date is not designated. What is the makor of not fasting on Shabbos? How do we know we're not allowed to fast on Shabbos? So the makor is actually from a pasuk in Yeshayo. In other words, it is from the Nevi'im. It is not from the Torah. It is called Divrei Kabbalah, words of prophecy or words of tradition. And this is the pasuk that says, "Vikarasa l'Shabbos oneg." You shall proclaim the Shabbos to be a day of oneg, a day of delight, a day of pleasure. And Chazal understood this to mean that since when most people fast, they feel the opposite of pleasure. They feel disgruntled. They feel hungry. They feel deprived. So fasting on Shabbos would be inconsistent with the Karaso l'Shabbos Oneg. That is why, by the way, if a person is sick and eating food will make them feel more nauseous, they are allowed to fast because they're not fasting for deprivation. They're fasting because they feel better not eating than if they would eat. So the Isser of Tainus is because it is a beetle, it is a nullification of the Chiyuv of Oneg Shabbos, the Karasa l'Shabbos Oneg. That is Midivrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah just means words that come down from the prophets. In this case, it is Yeshayahu Hanavi. Now, Rav Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, wants to be Mechadesh, the following Chiddush. The Isser Midivrei Kabbalah of fasting on Shabbos is only if it would be a 24-hour fast, meaning you're fasting all of Shabbos. You start Friday night, and you go to Motzei Shabbos. That's called a fast, Me'es Le'es. But a fast that is only part of the day, that is not the whole day, is only an Isser D'Rabbanan. It is a rabbinic law. It is not Midivrei Kabbalah. And therefore, if it's not Me'es Le'es, it is still Usher to fast. It is Usher to fast, even if it's not Me'es Le'es. That's why even Shabbos morning, you are supposed to make Kiddush before the middle of the day, so there shouldn't be a fast for most of the daylight hours. But it is not; it does not have the chaymer of Divrei Kabbalah. It is only an Isser D'Rabbanan. So if we combine this thought with Rav Chaim, we can come up with the following idea. When Rav Chaim said, any fast that cannot be made up, can be done on Shabbos, right? That's Rav Chaim Jesod. If you can't make up the fast, you can do it on Shabbos. He's only talking about a fast day in which where the Isser of the fast is only Midrabanan, meaning to say it's not a complete day. But a fast that is Me'es Le'es, which is a violation of Divrei Kabbalah, that would be categorically forbidden on Shabbos, even when you don't have the opportunity of makeup. And this would explain why Tisha B'Av would be different than Asara B'Teves. Tisha B'Av is, as we know, a 24-hour fast. So if I were to fast on Shabbos, I would be transgressing the prophetic injunction of a Karaso l'Shabbos Oneg. That prophetic injunction is so chamor that even if I don't have a makeup opportunity, because Rav Yehuda HaNasi says that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, I don't have a makeup opportunity. But even if I don't have a makeup opportunity, the Isser of the Nevi'im to fast on Shabbos will be so chamor that I will not fast on Shabbos, with the net result that I'm not going to fast at all. But Asara B'Teves is not a 24-hour fast. Asara B'Teves is only from Odeh Shachar, from dawn until night. Memeila, that's only an Isser D'Rabbanan. So there, Rav Chaim learns that if you have a makeup, don't do it. If you don't have a makeup, the Chachamim didn't make their Gezerah if you're going to lose the fast entirely. So now, let me summarize this a little bit because we're combining two ideas. And that is the following. When the 17th of Tammuz falls out on Shabbos, which it can, because every time Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, then 3 weeks earlier, the 17th of Tammuz also fell out on Shabbos. So when Shiva Sarba Tammuz falls out on Shabbos, even though it's not a 24-hour fast. It's not a 24-hour fast. We don't fast on Shabbos because Shivas or Batamas has Tashlumin. Because since its designation as a fast day is the Pasuk in Zechariah, and the Pasuk in Zechariah only talks about Chodesh HaRevi'i, therefore it is not tied to a calendar date. It is only tied to a month. It has Tashlumin. So any fast that has Tashlumin is not Doche Shabbos, even when it's not a 24-hour fast. That is why Shivas or Batamas is not Doche Shabbos. When Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, there's actually two reasons why we don't fast on Shabbos. Reason number one is that it has a makeup, because Tisha B'Av also is tied to the month and not to the date. And any fast that has a makeup is not Doche Shabbos. But there's also a reason number two, that even if you followed Rebbe, which we don't paskin like, but even if you followed Rebbe, that Tisha B'Av on Shabbos does not have a makeup, you still would not be Doche Shabbos because it's a 24-hour fast, and that's more chamor. Asara B'Teves, however, will be Doche Shabbos because number one, it doesn't have a makeup. Why doesn't it have a makeup? Because the Pasuk in Yecheskel ties it to a day rather than a month. And number two, it is not a 24-hour fast. So when it's not a 24-hour fast and it doesn't have a makeup, so the Yisra of fasting is only Midrabanan. The Rabbanan did not make their takana if you would forfeit the fast Lagamri. And if we were to say you can't fast on Shabbos, you would not be able to fast on Sunday. Therefore, the Yisra de Rabbanan of a fast that is less than Meyet Liyet will be Doche, the Yisra of fasting on Shabbos. Right? So this is why there's a difference between Asara B'Teves, on one hand, Shiva Sarbatamas, Tisha B'Av, and this answers the question from Maseches Megillah, why Rebbe would have been Mevatel Tisha B'Av Lagamri, because even if Tisha B'Av cannot be made up on Sunday, because it is a 24-hour fast, under no circumstances could you do this Meyes Liyes. Now, let me just remind you of a halakha. I think we talked about this around Rosh Hashanah time. The bottom line is that whether it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, at least rabbinically, you're not allowed to fast past the middle of the day, past Chatzos. Again, the Or Samech says that that's not the Midivrei Nevi'im. Midivrei Nevi'im is only a 24-hour fast, but at least Midrabanan, you don't fast until Chatzos. Now, normally, this does not raise a problem in a typical Shabbos davening. There's a typical Shabbos davening, we finish before Chatzos, and we are able to make Kiddush, and therefore there's no problem. But the big problem is, of course, on Rosh Hashanah, not Yom Kippur, you're fasting anyway, but on Rosh Hashanah, where the Rosh Hashanah davening normally goes way beyond Chatzos, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, in some yeshivas, 3 o'clock, or even 4 o'clock. And the question becomes, you're not allowed to fast on Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. So how do we get around the Isser of Tainus? So because of this, as all of you know, it was the minhag of many shuls, and it's the minhag of many yeshivos, that they make Kiddush after the Haftorah before shofar blowing, because they can't do it after shofar. You can't do it after shofar blowing before Musaf, because since we blow shofar in Musaf and even after Musaf, you're not allowed to interrupt from the beginning of shofar blowing till the end of Musaf, which is already after Chatzos. So the only, and of course, you're not allowed to eat or drink before Shacharit. So the only, and Kriyas HaTorah, so the only possibility of a break that allows us to make Kiddush in order not to fast until after Chatzos is the break between the Haftorah and the blowing of the Shofar. But this is a very controversial place to break, because there's another halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to eat or drink before the blowing of the shofar. So Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva many, many years ago, where Rav Moshe said that in order not to be over the Isser of Tainus, and in order to have kavana for a very long musaf, you are permitted to make kiddush and eat or drink before tekiyat shofar. And this is the minhag of many shuls and many yeshivas. On the other hand, there was a very great posek, Rav Henkin, who was older than Rav Moshe, but he was his very, very close friend on the Lower East Side. And it is said, I think Rav Henkin was nifter in the 1970s. In fact, I just heard Rav Henkin Zeinikel, Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin, who's Rebbetzin Henkin of Nishmat. Her husband was just nifter. Again, he zichro baruch. He indeed was a true Zeinikel of his great grandfather. But be it as it may, it is said that Rav Henkin on his deathbed wanted Rav Moshe to be chayzer on two psakim. Psak number one, which is not our subject, is Rav Moshe held that reform marriages didn't need a get. And that prevented a lot of mamzerim. So if a kid was born from a second marriage and his mother didn't have a get, and he would be a mamzer, but his mother's marriage was a reform marriage, Rav Moshe said you didn't need a get because there weren't kosher witnesses. And that's matzil. That actually helps Balei Tshuva every single day of the year, that they're not mamzerim. But Rav Henkin held that even civil marriages and reform marriages needed a get. So he wanted Rav Moshe to be chayzer on that. And that's a talk for another time. And the second thing he wanted Rav Moshe to be chayzer on was allowing people to make kiddush before tekiyas shofar. Rav Henkin held that was a very, very chomer halacha. So lemaisa, if a person wants to be machmer like Rav Henkin and follow the Shulchan Aruch, I want to be machmer. How do I balance everything? In other words, I don't want to make kiddush before tekiyas shofar. And I don't want to be oiver on the yisur of fasting before on Rosh Hashanah. So what do? I seem to be in an impossible situation between a rock and a hard place. The answer is actually very simple. In order to negate the yisur tainus, you don't have to have mizonos. Drinking water, drinking coffee, drinking tea would be maspik, not to be in a state of fasting. Now, it's true, I'm not allowed to eat mizonos before davening. But I am allowed to have a cup of coffee, tea. Some people put milk and sugar, some people don't. Again, some people even eat mezainis. I don't want to get into that, but that's a very questionable practice. But for sure, coffee and tea is okay. So memela, if I have my coffee and tea before shacharis, I'm perfectly covered like everybody because I'm not considered to be fasting. I'm allowed to have this before davening, and I'm allowed to have that before shofar blowing. And I'm not going to make kiddush until afterwards. So even if your minhag is on a regular Shabbos, that you do not have coffee and tea before shacharis, it would be appropriate on Rosh Hashanah to do so if you're going to be makayim Rav Henkin's halacha of not making kiddush before shofar. If you're going to make kiddush before shofar, then you don't have to worry about it because you're going to make kiddush.